I wanted to share with you something that really caught my attention a few years ago when I first, I can't say it was when I first read it. I'm sure I'd read it many times before, but it was, it just really jumped out to me a few years ago. But I know that for many, I doubt that there's any one of us that has not felt unloved at some point in our life. It's hard to imagine because we're all human, and you know, it might be for any number of reasons. It might be over guilt, real, whether it's real or whether it's imagined. It might be because we believe lies about ourselves. We believe lies that we've told ourselves. We believe lies that came from others. We believe lies that came from the devil about who we are. Some of us have lost people, and we're feeling the absence of that love. And a lot of times it's because our expectations are not met. We think that love should look a certain way, and it doesn't look that way. We don't always get our expectations met, and so we feel unloved. But sometimes love does come in a package that doesn't look like love to us on the receiving end. I mean, we all experienced that. Hopefully we all had parents that were trying to raise us right and give us discipline. Discipline doesn't feel much like love. But we know once we grow up that it is love, that if we didn't get any, that's not love. Or, you know, sometimes things are withheld from us that we want. And over time, we come to realize and come to be grateful for those things being withheld from us because we realize I didn't need that. That wouldn't have been good for me. Or sometimes withdrawal can be love. I've told the story before about my mom telling me one time that when I was little, she had to let me run into stuff and fall because I had to figure out for myself what I needed to do, how I could get around what I could do, and sometimes that involves making mistakes. Sometimes the Lord will allow us to get into situations that maybe aren't too fun. Why? Because we've got to learn how to function. And we've got to learn how to make better decisions the next time. Sometimes delay. And delay can often feel like indifference. Well, don't you care? Why aren't you running to my aid? Don't you care what's going on? But then we have a choice. We have a choice. We can be disappointed. A lot of times we are disappointed. We can get angry. Or we can trust. And especially when it comes to our Lord. You know, people are going to let us down. But God, as Chris mentioned today, one of the ways that God defines himself is love. And so we know that everything that he does has that motivation. So to kind of illustrate that, I want to turn our attention to John chapter 11. And it's a well-known story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And we're going to hit the highlights and discuss a few things along the way. But the verse that I'm going to read to you is verses 5 and 6 out of that chapter. And it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he had heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." He has heard that Lazarus is sick, and so he stays a couple of days longer. That's not what we would expect, is it? We would expect, well, he heard, I mean, when we hear somebody's sick that we love, even if we can't really do anything for them, what do? As quick as we can, we run to be with them because we want to be. We love them. But that's not what Jesus does here. He says it says that he loved them, and so, in other words, because he loved them, he stayed. So we'll kind of go through the story. He heard that he was sick. They say he whom you love is sick. Jesus loved these people. He's the sister of Mary and Martha that we've talked about before. Everybody knows the story of who they are. You have the story in Luke about Mary and Martha, and then you have the Mary's the one. It says in verse 2 that anointed Jesus' feet and with the perfume and wiped them with her hair, and you can read about that in chapter 12 as well. But Jesus loved them. Jesus loved them, and the word that gets used there is agape, that God kind of love. Same as was used with John. And they knew it. They said, he whom you love is sick. Although they used a different word there. But they were appealing to him, come quickly. Now Jesus then acts on that love in the verses that we just read. But the action is not what we would have expected. The action is, he hangs out for the couple days where he's at. And what happens? Lazarus died. Now here's our first clue that Jesus is up to something bigger. Because he then says in verse 4, Jesus said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now, the key word here is not to end. Obviously, Lazarus is going to die, but it's not going to end in death. The second clue, Jesus knew what was going to happen. Second clue is in verse 14. Part of which says, as he's talking, if you remember the story, at first he uses a euphemism. He says Lazarus is asleep. And they say, well, what are you doing going down there where they want to kill you? If he's asleep, he's going to be all right. So then Jesus tells them plainly in verse 14, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. Second clue, Jesus is up to something big here. They didn't know yet what he was up to. In fact, I love Thomas. I always kind of identify with Thomas, and he's the realist in the group. I got to see it. All right, well, we're going to go with him. He says, well, let's go ahead and go with him. We'll die along with him. They'll kill us too. But Jesus arrives then at the place where Mary and Martha and Lazarus live. 4 days later, in verse 17. And all of the people that he is close to there all have the same thing to say. If you had only been here, he wouldn't have died. Martha says it to him in verse 21. Mary says it in verse 23. Even the Jews who were there, who didn't necessarily believe in him, say over in verse 37, say, well, couldn't he have fixed this if he were here? But Martha also expresses maybe a tentative declaration of faith. He's come and he's come and he said, well, You know, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. But even so, I believe God will give you anything that you ask him for. And what is she saying there? She doesn't seem to have grasped the idea that he could really raise Lazarus from the dead because of what he says next. But starting in verse 22, even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Third clue, Jesus is going to do something big. But Jesus too, we don't want to lose sight of this. Jesus too is affected deeply by what's going on here. We find him weeping in verse 35. You know, you always learn when you're a kid, what's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept, right? Oh, I almost hate that we do that because it takes away from the beautiful story that verse is in the middle of. But he knew what he was going to do. He knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, yet he's still affected by the grief of those who are around him and those whom he loves, and he grieves with them. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, that would be Mary, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. But now comes the good part, if you will. As he tells them in verse 39, they get to the tomb. Tells them in verse 39, remove that stone. And of course, they didn't see it coming yet what he was going to do. And good old practical Martha says, hey, you know he's going to stink, right? But they go ahead and they do it. They remove the stone. Jesus says to them, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? In verse 40 there. And then he prays. And then they remove the stone. They remove the stone. And I'm going to read from verse 41. So they remove the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always heard me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you have sent me. And then he calls out Lazarus. He said, when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And of course, Lazarus comes forth. And what happens as a result of this, and this was what Jesus was up to all along, of course, he's going to restore Lazarus to his family. That he loves, and everybody's going to be back together and happy to be back together. But in the midst of that, in addition to that, beyond that, it says that many people in verse 45 believed because of the miracle that he did. Now, some didn't. In fact, Jesus pointed to the fact that, you know, even though somebody's raised from the dead, there's some people that's not going to believe. He pointed, you remember another story of another man named Lazarus, a poor man, in Luke chapter 16, verse 21, when Lazarus, the poor man, and the rich man had died. And the rich man is begging him to send Lazarus back because they'll believe somebody that raised from the dead. But in 16:31, Jesus says, if they do not believe Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. And that, of course, is also a prophetic message, because he's just about to do the same thing. He's just about to be raised from the dead, and people still not going to believe. And of course, not only that, they wanted to kill. You read a little bit later in chapter 12, they've been trying to kill Jesus for some time now. Now they want to kill Lazarus too, because people are seeing him and believing because of what of the miracle that Jesus did. What does this mean to us? How do we apply this? Sometimes love doesn't look like love to us. But we see here that Jesus stayed away not because he meant them harm, but because he meant them good. It didn't feel like love to them. They were upset. But Jesus had a bigger plan in mind. Lazarus was still sick. Lazarus still died. His family still grieved. Jesus grieved with them. It's still hard when things happen that we don't understand. And yeah, we're going to have questions. He may or may not answer those questions. But he also doesn't offer any rebuke. What he does do, though, is command trust. And trust requires action. What if they had decided, I'm not going to move that stone, let that stink out of there. You crazy, I'm not going to do that. They had to act on the trust and do something. But his plan was better. Yeah, the family was restored. Lazarus is not complaining. We don't have any record of what happened during that time that he was dead. We assume he was in paradise. But there's no record of that. But I have a feeling Lazarus is not upset by this whole thing. I imagine he's feeling pretty blessed. But others, not connected to the family, others who were just in that orbit and saw what happened, others were saved. Others believed because of what God did, and God was glorified. God's glory is in his love. So the question then is, how are we going to respond when we don't understand? Are we going to get angry? Are we going to have bitterness? I'm not picking on anybody. I've been there. I've had those feelings. Are we going to withdraw ourselves and pull away? You know, Mary and Martha could have done that. They could have said, you know, why didn't you come? You're not welcome here anymore. You could have fixed this. You didn't fix it. We don't want anything else to do with you. But that's not how they responded. They would have known that he had time to get there and chose not to get there. But they instead trusted. And so we should examine ourselves. You know, sometimes what's going on with us, we had a little something to do with it. And we know that discipline is also part of God's love to us. So it's a good idea to examine ourselves and see, is there something that I need to get right? A discipline is also love. But determine, whatever the case, even if we can't find anything, even if we, like Job, can't find any reason why the stuff's going on in our lives that's going on, we determine to draw closer to the Lord, and we determine to believe. Because Jesus brings life. Trust him and then act like we trust him. Take joy in the good end that is coming your way, even if you can't see it yet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us this account so that we have a tangible example of how you work in our lives, in the lives of the people that you love. Sometimes we don't understand what's going on, but we can trust that you, as the sovereign God, have a good end in mind. And you told us as much. So thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and all that you are yet going to do in our lives. Help us to take from that and to bless others with it and bring others into your family, because that is your ultimate goal. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.